This is Barbara Ridenour back with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 9th, 2016. We'll continue with the obituaries. John Douglas Benge, 63, of Decatur, died Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. Cremation will take place at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Cremation Center, and there will be no public services at this time. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Michael D. Paris, 61, Oklahoma, formerly of Decatur, died August 27, 2016. Memorial services are at 2 p.m. Saturday at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation is 1 hour before services. There will be a private burial at a later date. Helen K. West died September 6, 2016. She was 73. Following cremation, a memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, September 16th, at McHenry Funeral Home in Corvallis, Oregon. McHenryFuneralHome.com is in charge of arrangements. Ronald Perry Tisch, 72, of Decatur, died Wednesday, September 7, 2016. Ronald was born January 28, 1944. Services to celebrate his life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service. Casual attire is requested. Burial will be Sunday, September 11th. At 9 a.m. in St. John's Lutheran Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Decatur Animal Shelter or Hudson's Halfway Home. Dennis Lewis Justice, 62, of Assumption, died Wednesday, September 7, 2016. He donated his body to science. Memorials may be made to the Central Illinois Cancer Care Specialists or St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. William Shelton Bill Lamb, 77, of Shelbyville, died Wednesday, September 7, 2016. Visitation will be held from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, September 10th, in Howanyaki Funeral Home in Shelbyville. Graveside services will follow in Tower Hill Cemetery, Tower Hill. Military rites will be afforded by the Shelby County Honor Guard. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the donor's favorite charity. Edna L. Schultz, 99, of Strasburg, died Wednesday, September 7, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, September 10th, in St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Strasburg. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday in the church. Burial will be in St. Paul's Cemetery, Strasburg. Arrangements are by Howanyaki Funeral Home, Strasburg. Memorials may be made to the St. Paul's Lutheran Church or donor's choice. We'll turn now to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. State needs successful formula for economy. Question: can Illinois be number one in the nation economically? Answer: yes. Why continue the race to the bottom with our unfortunate countrymen in progressive states like California? The solution is simple, and your vote is part of it. Look for a winning algorithm. Texas, North Dakota, and Florida all have people flocking to their states. They have found a successful formula. What do they have in common? Those states have policies that include no income tax plus reduced regulations equals a thriving economy. Voters in Illinois and other similar progressive states need to elect officials who will implement the same successful formula for prosperity and an American Renaissance. Anything else just doesn't add up. Signed, Sherry Procarioni, Decatur. Prayer Rally Headline, brings much joy. I'm impressed with the encouraging headlines of some of the articles written recently. The most recent was Prayer Rally. Our state, our country, our world needs much prayer. I'm happy for the four adults who met on July 11th. They became acquainted with other Christians who have faith in praying to our Savior, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God bless you richly. Signed, Carolyn M. Ruffini, Decatur. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to Ameren, Illinois for making a $5.3 million investment in the Decatur community with the construction of a new gas control center. The facility at 2425 North Woodford Street provides real-time monitoring of the utility's natural gas delivery system and further establishes the regional electricity and natural gas provider's footprint in the community. The company noted during an open house Wednesday that it plans to spend an additional $24.5 million for infrastructure projects during the coming year. Thumbs up to the continued addition of entertainment opportunities on Lake Decatur. The Decatur Park District Board approved a request from Aaron and Abby McIntosh to provide paddleboard and kayak rentals in Nelson Park during the next month, with the hope of bringing them back for the entire summer next year. We are surprised how many people, some of whom have spent their entire lives here, don't realize what a jewel they have in Lake Decatur. Any opportunity that opens their eyes to this fact is welcome. Thumbs down to cyber criminals who prey on the weakness of business and personal computer systems to steal identities and, in some cases, hold their computer files for ransom. Thanks to the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce for inviting FBI agent Darren Holtz to its monthly breakfast event to present information about these threats. Thumbs up to the We Are One Community Committee for again making donations, this year totaling $22,000 to several area groups to help offset budget shortages or to make projects possible. The annual donation is made possible through the generosity of area union members. An additional thumbs up to the Decatur Trades and Labor Assembly for hosting another Labor Day parade in downtown Decatur. The event, coupled with a picnic that followed, is an opportunity to spotlight some of the men and women who put in their time doing the jobs that make our community tick. Thumbs up to the Swimming Fish and Soaring Herons mural added to the water tank at the South Water Treatment Plant. City worked with Millikan University Associate Professor Ed Walker, whose students in a graphics design class submitted proposals for the tank. The city chose the design by senior Sarah Suits from Laomi. The mural is part of a $550,000 project to maintain two water tanks. Thumbs up to the AT&T Pioneers and the Golden K Kiwanis for once again making dictionaries available to local third graders. Through all the high-tech advances, the dictionary still has its place. While the obvious use is to intentionally look up a word for its spelling or meaning, it's amazing that what you might learn just thumbing through the pages and randomly pointing to a word on the page. Thumbs up to the Macon County Sheriff's Office for the creation of a diversion program that encourages opioid addicts a chance to break the habit. The program, made possible through a grant from the Howard Buffett Foundation, invites the drug user to bring themselves to law enforcement center and subsequently get treatment. Those who walk in won't be prosecuted. In today's calendar, the best bets are listed as Finders Harvest Market, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Progress City USA, Decatur, $2 at the gate, adults and children are free. For $2 at the gate for adults, children are free. Sunday, remembering 9/11. Let's see where that is. A Prairie Celebration Living History Event, noon to 4 p.m., Rock Springs Conservation Area, Decatur. Artisans, demonstrations, food available for purchase. call 423-7708. That's 423-7708, Homestead Prairie Farm Open House, 1 to 4 p.m. Cruise 11 to Remember 9/11, 8 a.m., this is on Sunday, 8 a.m., Central Park, downtown Decatur, car and bike show, $11 entry fee, food vendors, patriotic music featuring Lisa Kay and B.J. Nevitt, Yellow Ribbon Memorial Cruise. Donations are accepted. Call 217-791-1385. That's 791-1385. In business, Jimmy John's sells. Sandwich chain Jimmy John's Sandwiches said it sold a majority stake in the company to a private equity firm, Roark Capital Group. Financial terms of the deal were not disclosed. Roark Capital of Atlanta has invested in several fast food companies before, including pretzel seller Auntie Anne's and sandwich restaurant chain Arby's. Founded in 1983, Jimmy John's has more than 2,500 locations across the country and plans to open 1,100 more in the next few years. As a comparison, rival sandwich chain Subway has more than 44,000 shops. Jimmy John's says founder Jimmy John Letoud will remain as chairman of the company's board. James North will remain as president and CEO of the company, of the privately held company, which is based in Champaign. On the Life page, local, coming together, Argenta churches join forces for annual art and animal celebration, Argenta. According to the old saw, two heads are better than one. But the collaboration of three congregations, not to mention contributions from the local community development group and fire protection district, promises to make the third annual Argenta Autumn Art and Annual Animal Celebration Saturday the biggest and best ever. The centerpiece is a blessing of the animal service at 11 a.m., but each church is also bringing something new to the table. The United Methodist Church will sell walking tacos with proceeds to benefit its food pantry. The Baptist Church plans to stage a puppet show, while the Presbyterian Church, the originator of the event, has lined up an assortment of food fun, including Chelsea Force of Argenta in character as Mid-American Mermaid. Brenda Greider, a member of Argenta Presbyterian, is taking her first turn running the event and is doing all she can to put the village's best foot forward. That includes getting Mayor Cindy Ludke to organize a local business expo along East Elm Street on behalf of community development group Argenta in Motion. Merchants to participate include Autumn Mill, Badman Home Inspections, Calvert Funeral Home, Fisher's Auto Repair, Garriott's Antiques, Gerber State Bank, Midwest Site Foundation, Rainey's Nursery, and Screen This. I think anything that brings people here and lets them see what Argenta has to offer is wonderful for our town, Ludke said. We hope the festival gets bigger every year. Greider also worked with the Argenta Oriana Fire Protection District on hosting a bag toss tournament, which is accepting registrations of two-person teams for $25 each. Nathan Marshall, a volunteer firefighter who lives in Oriana, said cash prizes will be awarded for first, second, and third place, and proceeds will benefit the fire department. Anyone wishing to register for the tournament in advance should call Wyatt Corville at 815-202-3828. That's 815-202-3828. Greider said the celebration will also feature arts and crafts vendors, a pet costume contest, cakewalk, Scoville Mobile Zoo, pony rides, and a bounce house. This is a real community thing, and we're really putting it out there, she said. The backbone of the event, however, are the Argenta's three churches, which are following the lead of their pastors, who began meeting regularly over coffee and pie this summer to see how they could work together. They are Reverend Kate Pyle of Argenta Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Will Ferguson, pastor of Argenta Baptist Church, and the Reverend Bob Baker, pastor of Argenta United Methodist Church. Baker said he and his congregation are willing to take on more leadership for next year's celebration and also make their 15-year-old building available for community functions year-round. Our facilities are a gift we can give, and the fact of the matter is, we all serve the same risen Lord, Baker said. Something really neat is happening out here in Argenta. If you go, it's the Argenta Autumn Art and Animal Celebration. It's tomorrow, September 10th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's along North North and East Elm Streets in Argenta. And you can check the event on Facebook. St. John's celebrates 125 years, Decatur. When St. John's Lutheran Church was founded in 1891, it was called St. Johannes Evangelisch Kirche. St. Johannes Evangelisch Kirche, pardon my pronunciation. And most of the families were German. St. John's still remembers its German beginnings with its annual all-German language service. It started with the Lutheran school, said the Reverend Russ Weiss, pastor of St. John's, or Weiss, I guess. The church was located over on Orchard Street. What I think is kind of cool is the church was kind of born from the Lutheran school that there was there because St. Paul's church and school had already been going, and as the saying goes, they needed a church on the other side of the tracks. Traveling was much more difficult at the time, and the comparatively short distance between the original locations of St. Paul's and St. John's to the modern-day Decatur resident was more daunting in the early days. The two schools combined into the Lutheran School Association in the 1950s and moved to East Round Road in 1998. St. John's will celebrate its 125th anniversary with a 3-day calendar of events beginning with a dinner at the Grand Palace on the grounds of the Heartland Community College Church, at 6 p.m. Friday, September 16th. Tickets cost $25 and include entertainment by the Lutheran School Association Band and the Dowd family. Child care provided by licensed child care providers will be included at no charge. On Saturday, September 17th, there will be a church carnival and picnic on the grounds of the church at 2727 North Union Avenue, with games, bounce houses, and food, and entertainment by Christian recording artist Wendy Sue Fluge. Mr. Softy will be there and available for purchase, while all other activities, including a hot dog lunch, are free. The event is from 3 to 6 p.m. Special services on Sunday, September 18th, will be at 8:30 and 11 a.m. At the early service, Milt Scott will direct a 125 voice choir, and at the 11 a.m. service will include special music by Wendy Sue Fluge. Guest speaker at both services is the Reverend Keith Eilers, former pastor of St. John's. In 1975, St. John's bought 5 acres near Decatur Memorial Hospital on Union Avenue and built the present church. The Decatur Family YMCA was not yet located next door. That site had been a monastery and later an orphanage. I just always have been fascinated with that, Weiss said, that there was an orphanage there and kind of carried on the torch, so to speak, of helping to serve people who are in need. Member Katie Balava is helping to organize the 3-day celebration on the committee chaired by Frank Whitehead, and said the group has been meeting for months to work out details. The theme of the anniversary is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Weiss's sermon topic for September 4th was yesterday, while Associate Pastor Adam Ray will preach on today, on September 11th, and Eilers will tackle forever during the celebration service on September 18th. I think, like any church, St. John's has been through significant mountains and valleys, Weiss said, and Jesus has proved to be faithful. It's amazing how he's provided for St. John's in terms of disciple members, pastors, directors of Christian education, financial blessings that would come at a very critical time. Jesus has always come through. The future of St. John's is one change, and as Weiss is planning to retire, or refire, sorry, because he hates the term retire, in 2017. If the church members agree, Ray will be named the lead pastor, and the congregation will seek to hire a new associate pastor from the denomination seminary. The church also has a new director of Christian education, Melinda Standifer, who is doing her one-year internship after her May graduation. We're starting a new chapter, Bulava said. Bags of Hope Still Nourishing, Nurturing Children, Decatur. In winter 2015, St. Paul's Lutheran Church instituted 40 days of community when members were urged to join a small group for study, fellowship, and service. The service component birthed Decatur Kids, Bags of Hope. Our minds were geared toward children, said Alyssa Hinkle, whose group began the effort. We came together because our kids. We all have kids about the same age, and they all go to LSA. Group member Michelle Shagoda suggested the group put together bags of easy-to-prepare foods for low-income kids who might not get enough to eat on weekends when they have no access to school breakfast and lunch. She had seen a similar project in the community where she lived previously. The hardest part was choosing a school, said Hinkle. We took on Hope Academy because they had the highest poverty level, 98.2%. The Chagoda family has since moved away, and their community group went to the board of elders at St. Paul's to ask if the church would take on the ministry, as it had grown bigger than the group could handle alone. The elders agreed, and Decatur Kids became the church's project, now grown to 3 schools with 30 kids in each school. I truly believe that the children in the community you belong to are the future, Chagoda said. Investing in the kids of Decatur is an investment in the long-term impact of the community. The Reverend Mark Gehrig has assumed responsibility for overseeing the ministry. He's the church's newest pastor and in charge of outreach. A lot of kids don't have food provided for them over the weekends, he said. They have to sort of fend for themselves. One thing the original group didn't realize, Hinkle said, was that some of the kids don't even have access to water at home due to poverty and families not being able to pay the bills. In addition to simple foods like granola bars and packets of instant oatmeal, they began including water, too. The kids are given the food on Fridays at school and instructed to try to make it last all weekend. Some of them even have to hide their bags to keep the adults at home from taking it for themselves, Gehrig said. Michelle Chagoda learned that when talking to children at schools, now the church is serving kids at Hope, Balm, and French Academy. Most of us aren't thinking about that, said Andrea Gerhard, Director of Communications for the church. We're used to going to the cabinet and being able to grab whatever we want and not think about protecting what food we might have. That's an eye-opening thing. At French Academy, said parent liaison Megan Myrick, Fridays begin with an assembly, and afterward, the kids who receive food are diverted into a classroom where the food packets are placed into their backpacks for them. The backpacks are put away during the school day, and the kids have to take the food home after school. That way, Merrick said, other kids don't know they have the food. And while the younger kids don't mind if others know, older kids don't want their classmates to know. At services on Saturday and Sunday, September 10th and 11th, St. Paul's will collect items for these bags and monetary donations to buy supplies at church services. The Reverend Doug Bender plans to organize the youth group to do the shopping and packing once a month, while others volunteer to do the packing at other times. I just think if I were a youth group member, that would be awesome, to go shopping and fill up carts with all this food and come back and pack it up, Gehrig said. The church also plans to work with the schools to try and help support families in other ways. he said. At the beginning it seemed overwhelming, Hinkle said, but the group book we were reading for study said, look for something to do big. Nothing is impossible with God. So we said, let's try to do the impossible. And it's through our weakness that God shines. St. Mary's plans Parish Fiesta, Taylorville. A parish fiesta will be Friday to Sunday, September 16th to 18th, in St. Mary's Catholic Church, 108 West Adams Street, Taylorville. Friday's events include a fish fry from 5 to 8 p.m. with carryouts available, and a visit from Sparky the Fire Dog from 5 to 7 p.m. Food, kids' tent, snack tent, beer wagon, holiday booth, and live music will be available Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's events also include a volleyball tournament for ages 7th through 12th grades and 6:30 p.m. tractor pull. Sunday's activities will include a polka mass at 10:30 a.m. Dinner will be served from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. with a Crime Stoppers presentation from noon to 2. In Decatur, Hillside gets quality rating. Accelerated Christian Education has awarded Hillside Bethel Tabernacle a quality status by upholding a standard of excellence by focusing on Christian character training and outstanding academic accomplishments by its students, and demonstrating a continuing commitment to state-of-the-art computer-enhanced education. In state news, Illinois State University say fall enrollments a mixed bag, Champaign. While the University of Illinois and Illinois State University have more freshmen enrolled this fall, other public universities are reporting declines, which they have anticipated as a result of the state's budget crisis. The leader of at least one of those schools, Eastern Illinois University, said this week that his campus needs to look for ways to improve its own finances and be less dependent on the state. At least four of the state's 12 public universities said last spring that they expected fewer freshmen due to declining numbers of applications and had fielded numerous inquiries from parents and students about the viability of their campuses due to delays in state funding. Democratic lawmakers and GOP Governor Bruce Rauner haven't agreed on a state budget for the last fiscal year or the current one, but eventually provided partial higher education funding late last school year. Now the numbers are in. EIU reported Thursday that a 25% drop in freshman enrollment overall was off 2.6%. Earlier this week, Western, Southern, and Northern all said that they have lower overall and overall freshman and freshman enrollment. The University of Illinois said Thursday that its overall enrollment was up 1%. Illinois State University has a record overall enrollment this fall, up 1.1%. Some institutions weren't sure they could make it through last year. We need a budget sooner rather than later to address this kind of crisis of confidence that the parents have. That's all we have time for the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 9th, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Have a pleasant weekend. It should be nice starting tomorrow afternoon. And a pleasant week to follow.